Welcome to 9 a.m. on Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016. I am calling the Adult Education Block Grant Consortium for Santa Barbara meeting to order. And I'll do a roll call to establish a quorum. Ray McDonald.
Here.
Tony Bauer.
Here.
And I am Melissa Marino. And we have absent Micheline Miglis from the Carpinteria Unified School District. But since three of the four of us are here, I established a quorum. And I wanted to welcome everyone, even though we have no one in the audience. And I wanted to address a couple of informational items. So I have been working with Corlay on reporting on the AB86, and now we've shifted to the Adult Education Block Grant, which is AB104. So our closeout for AB86 was December, and our final reporting was due at the end of January for AB86. So we closed that out, filed our final budget and our final narrative, and that will all be reviewed by the state. And then we do have to do one final budget, but it's the same that we did. And we've already received approval for our final AB86 reporting. So I don't think we'll hear much more about that. And so the planning grant is officially sunset.
Was there any funding left on the planning grant, just as a thought? The AB86?
No.
There wasn't?
No. Okay. We very diligently spent it down as planned
by the end of
December.
Good, because I was going to ask if it rolled forward otherwise.
It could have. I don't remember the answer to that question, but it was better that we just spent it all down.
Yeah.
So, but it was okay for us to spend it on AB104 items.
Oh, okay.
Which is what we did at the end. So, and then AB104 is our first. Okay, so this is an interesting piece to know, that we're only responsible for biannual reporting for AB104. So we've done our first report. That was due January 31st. The next one won't be due until the end of July.
So we
only have to report twice a year.
However, we
are requiring our stakeholders and partners to report to the consortium every quarter.
Right.
Because Corlay wants to collect the data each quarter so that she can make sure the expenditures are on track for her biannual reporting.
Exactly.
For our biannual reporting. So, and we'll be talking about that in more detail on another agenda. It's the last agenda item. Where we're going to go through our plan, our draft that we created. And then I wanted Corlay actually to talk about our practices with Promise, but let me set the context.
Mm-hmm.
In order for us to be approved for practices with Promise, for AB104s, we all had to submit a practice with Promise. Every consortium had to submit a practice with Promise. So I wanted Corlay to share what we submitted for practices with Promise on the website. So we all had to every consortium had to upload to the state a practice with Promise of what we've been doing. So did we do one or two?
Oh yes, we did one. We did one for the Career Skills Institute, and it's printed in your binder. What has actually been loaded and approved by the official AEBG office. And so it's a one-pager, and what it does, it highlights, exactly, that's the one.
Good.
It highlights the Career Skills Institute, and what the office really wants is they want each consortium to highlight their success stories, emerging practices, anything that will really give more exposure to AEBG and what the consortium's doing. So one of the goals is to have each one of our partners submit a practice of Promise And so this is a perfect example of a success story that has that is well underway.
Yeah, it's underway. So what Neil, he's our monitor, says is that this helps them then report to the financial committee at the state level to know what boots on the ground are doing. Mm-hmm. And so this is enabling his reporting as well. Mm-hmm. So each, I think we're requesting our partners, and we'll talk about that, I think we're requesting our partners at the end of fourth quarter reporting to submit a practice with promise that we would then upload to the state.
Sure.
Now, are there any questions about our informational items?
No, they have a template for this, I assume, the practices and promises.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. And that's it. We have to answer those questions. So now I'd like to turn it to public and entity comment, and seeing as we have no speaker slips and no public in the audience, we will move to our consent items. And in your packets, you should have the minutes for the January meeting, and I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes from January's meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, great. So I just want to make sure that you noted our vote on the approval of the minutes. Yeah. It's 3-0 because Michelle is not here. Okay. So then, just to remind us where we were last month, we had 7 proposals. We approved all of the proposals with 2 provisional approvals.
Right.
One was construction technology, and the other was the student support services. So construction technology kind of had to be revamped. And so I want you to know that Corley and I met with Patrick Foster, who's the author of that. He's our department chair for construction technologies, and we met with his dean, Alan Price. And so we worked out... we sort of reworked it so that it made more sense in the construct of what we were requiring. And so he has resubmitted a narrative and a budget that is, in Corley's, in my opinion, aligned with our goals, and we are recommending that we now finally approve. And by the way, they met our requested deadline and submitted by the 25th of January. We just didn't get it to you until the 27th, I think. But they complied with our request. Very respectful.
In a nutshell, what did they kind of, what were the changes? I kind of, if you could, in summary form, you don't have to give me detail, but what were the basic changes that they made?
Yes, please, Corley.
So, Patrick actually had all of the pieces of the puzzle already in place.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a matter of bringing them together. So one of the beauties that AABG actually requested of each of the partners is creating bridge courses. So this is a perfect opportunity. Patrick has already conducted 4 beginning non-credit classes. Mm-hmm. So in order to meet that bridge, having met with Melissa and also Dean Price, they formulated the construction of advanced credit courses to create what's called phase 2 of the development of a pre-apprenticeship program.
Okay.
So phase 1 is 4 non-credit courses. During that time, Patrick has, as well as the student, in addition to the hiring of a new pre-apprenticeship coordinator to help him seek employers to place students in the prospective job sites so that they actually start working with an employer during phase one,
mm-hmm.
gradually working their way into phase two. And so they'll not only get experience from their employer, but they'll also be complementing all of their training with non-credit classes, followed by phase two of the advanced credit courses. And that'll culminate into not only a certificate, but then they can eventually, the employer will have just easy access for employment. And so mm-hmm. the goal is to have them be employed and or also get an AS degree in construction technology. So this is actually a perfect example of this bridge pilot that okay. we're trying to
That's very good. That's exactly, that correlates exactly with what the workforce system is doing. It's called the learn and earn model because they're learning and then they're also working with an employer and earning dollars at the same time. So this is really, really good because what it starts to do, again, getting back to my famous song that I know you guys are real tired of, but it is aligning very nicely with the type of things that we're doing on the workforce system. And so I'm seeing opportunities starting to happen that the workforce system can start collaborating and utilizing some of your courses that are done this way. It's a perfect example of us doing things together. So I'm going to be watching this to see how it works out so that next year when we're doing some allocation of funds at the workforce area, maybe we can see what you have in place and start working that way. So.
And these non-credit, so really the AEBG is focused on is creating these non-credit bridges to credit, and that's exactly what this is. So
mm-hmm.
those, and we have bilingual tutors in the classrooms, mm-hmm. which is just fantastic.
Okay.
Because and I looked at enrollments for the non-credit courses. I think we have 21 students enrolled, which is amazing because we need a minimum of 20 and non.
Oh, okay.
So mm-hmm. this has an ancillary effect of helping to build up our non-credit programs because mm-hmm. that's a college goal
mm-hmm.
is to make sure our non-credit programs are filling up with students.
Yeah.
So this is going to be an exciting one to watch because it's a clear pathway mm-hmm. from a non-credit bilingual mm-hmm. instruction to a job at the end
mm-hmm.
of the road. So
yeah.
it doesn't get any better mm-hmm. than that. And so I think that's where we're headed.
Yeah. And again, you know, the other thing, of course, is that this is in construction, and construction is one of our designated industry sectors of opportunity on the workforce board side.
Fantastic.
So I mean, all these things, I mean,
our
just
line.
Beautiful, line these things up. And I assume at some point, you know, as you're doing some report back to the state on the AEBG program, we can maybe make sure that we include those little points so that they know that that two systems are in alignment.
That's really important. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Because then you get points for that, I
yeah.
assume.
Yeah, we do.
Or maybe not.
No, we would. Okay. So
great.
Then,
so that was very good. Thank you.
I would. Is there any more comment on the construction technology program?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would like to entertain a motion that we
so moved.
Approve the construction technology without provision.
Yeah, seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, moving right along to the next agenda item, which was student support services. So my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Ben Partee, has submitted this proposal, and the budget had cut off. It didn't get through the system, and then he went on vacation during the holiday, and so we, you know, tracked him down. He's our dean of student support services and student discipline, so he's very,
oh,
very busy.
Student discipline.
Yes. And so he got us the budget, and
uh-huh.
there is one thing that I would like to point to.
Mm-hmm.
There's been, so Corley and I are both recommending that we accept this also in full,
mm-hmm.
but one of the things on his budget that I want to keep in there, but I just wanted to highlight for the consortium, is in the 5,000 details, office redesign and registration computer station. And I think that that is perfectly acceptable and should be by us. But there is this back and forth dialogue of what is an appropriate expenditure of AEBG funds. And the questions that's happening on our weekly webinar meetings are new construction. So, I mean, obviously Santa Barbara City College is not going to build any new buildings, but there's a lot of colleges out there that are building buildings and spending a lot of money building buildings, and they haven't gotten that approved. And so the dialogue has been this type of thing where you're redesigning an office to better meet student needs is perfectly acceptable, but construction or purchasing of property, those, so Neil is taking that back to the finance committee just to get clarity on it. I think we are fine and this is an appropriate expenditure, but I just wanted to highlight that, and I let Ben know that we'll have clarity on that, but that right now it looks fine. And so the other piece of that that is in favor of this is that we can't take AEBG funds and supplant expenditures of something that was already spent. So this is a perfect alignment of AEBG expenditures. It improves student service. And so I and Corley are recommending that we approve this, but with the caveat that if for some reason the finance committee comes back and says absolutely not, I don't think they will, we would have to readjust that.
Okay.
So
so moved.
Entertain a motion to approve this budget.
Unless you want to make the motion,
Tony,
you can.
I'll second.
Oh, okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Right along.
I love the problem.
Okay. Good. And
yeah, I do share their concern at the finance committee about new construction, though. So.
Oh.
I get it. I totally get it. This clearly, this should sail through unless for some reason they don't understand what they're talking.
Yeah.
What's being presented to them.
Right. Well, and it just makes me realize how small we are because we didn't get enough money to even consider construction.
I guess that is the downside. That is the downside.
Our final agenda item is to review the draft plan for quarterly reporting and program deliverables. And I'd like to take a peek at that. That's an attachment. So I'd like to start at the top because Corley and I worked on this week and up until yesterday. So I want to take a look at what we ended up with.
So even on my little iPad, I could probably find it if I went to...
go to the website.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't stop. I'll continue going.
It's called the Quarterly Progress Reporting.
Right here, too. I figure I'm going to go techie, too, so she's going techie.
So what we did was we reviewed what we shared with our proposers what our goals are at the top of the page. Corley and I both felt it's important to remind everyone where their proposal fits in this larger construct. And so included in that is our overarching goals, 1 through 4. So we want to provide excellent programming, so it doesn't hurt to remind us all either.
Right.
To provide excellent programming for adults, to develop student support services specifically focused on the needs of adult learners to assist in transfer, acceleration, and career success. 3, to support innovative professional development for staff and faculty. And 4, to set meaningful outcomes captured by various measurements and tools and shared with our stakeholders. So, and then we say in order to meet the goals, we have unanimously agreed communicating benchmarks allows transparency and provides a consortium with the data needed report to the state on the status and implementation of adult education programming in our region. So therefore, we're requesting our partners to report the progress of their respective programs in writing and in a public meeting. Does everybody recall that? So the data submitted for review presentation should align with the consortium approved request for proposal, their activity chart, and the above stated goals. So that's sort of our introduction for and setting the framework for this report. So Corlay and I came up with this quarterly progress reporting due. So the written report is due on these dates, and this aligns with what the AEBG reporting to the state is. So it gives us time to collect quarter one, quarter two, and then provide our biannual report by July 31st. So we'll receive a quarterly report on April 8th, which, does that align with our, it doesn't, the quarterly reporting doesn't necessarily align with our meetings, it aligns with the quarter.
Yes.
So I think our meeting is April 6th, but the quarterly report isn't due until April 8th. We picked the Friday after the quarter ended, so that they have extra time. They have like a week after the quarter ends to present their report. And so we try to give it the Friday after the end of the quarter, is basically.
And that's about 2 months before the official report is due to AEBG, April, when it's actually due in June, at the end of June.
It's actually due the end of July.
Oh, end of July, okay.
Yeah. So it gives it, so the quarter, because we only have a biannual report, so actually we're going to take first and second quarter reporting and compile that and report that to the state.
Right.
So it gives us a midway assessment of where we are.
Mm-hmm.
We spend the money,
right.
Snapshot, yeah. So every partner is required to report on these dates. That includes Ray.
Yeah. Okay. I know, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
So my question would be is, you know, we're going to send the report to the state on the 31st
of July,
but our meeting is July 6th, and they're going to submit to you on July 8th, so we won't see the data that goes to the state.
You will via email.
But there's not going to be a way for us to comment or act on it.
So let's have that conversation, because the question becomes, what is the role of the consortium in data reporting? My immediate response to that is that's the role of the AEBG coordinator, not the role of the consortium. I would say that the consortium would, you know, because we submitted a data report on January 31st.
Mm-hmm.
I think to have the consortium coordinate in approving the data report. I could see maybe a final report is approved for the year, but as long as you're being kept apprised and, you know, given that, because it's really just a data collection and a narrative that describes our activities.
I hear what you're saying, because it's similar to what I go through with my board and with my report.
You good with that?
Yeah, I'm good with that, because
okay,
I do a lot of reporting to the state that my board never sees. What I do at the end of the program year, obviously, is that I do a summation of what we did all year, but we also do quarterly, similar to what you're talking about here. So I'm comfortable with this, and I don't want to hamstring Corlay either in getting things submitted to the state.
Right. So the work that we do is reviewing those quarterly reports and giving feedback at that time that would inform that ultimate report that Corlay is, Corlay and I work together to construct, to submit to the state. I think if we get into the weeds there, that will make it really difficult
be doing it in a meeting like this, and so that would also open it up to the public getting into the weeds with us.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's necessarily constructive or what we want to do.
But what our intention here is, so if we've got a quarterly report due April the 8th, on the May meeting, we review those reports.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the meantime, Corlay and I can go back to the stakeholders and say, well, this is a big question mark.
So in the next report,
So we would, in May, we would review the April reports, and then in August, we would review the July quarterly reports. And then that informs the final report. And then I feel like, well, and then in October, you have three chances to give us
three bites of the apple?
Yeah. So I would then, should we should we take action on this? This was not an action item.
No, but this is
no.
just,
a discussion.
This is a review for us that we could all get comfortable with.
Under approval.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So this draft.
This is actionable.
So this would be actionable. Oh, it is under approval.
It's under approval.
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion to approve.
Well, I want to keep going through the public.
Oh, you want to go through the...
Yeah, let me finish.
Once again, it was more detail.
Well, because
I'm
the
good.
Next box that we're looking at is the required public meeting presentations. Mm-hmm. So we went back and forth on this because everybody travels in the summer and everybody travels at the end of the year. So we decided that the reporting, the public report out would be four times a year. Four times a year, May, October, June, and November at these meetings. So this is when our proposers
mm-hmm.
come to the podium and
mm-hmm.
present to us
where they are.
And
okay.
whether they've mm-hmm. completed first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, or they're in between, it doesn't matter. We decided it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to hear where they are. And we'll have had information, you know, so to be able to have that be a meaningful interaction. And did we decide what the time of the presentation? Okay, so we need to decide how much time we give them at the podium and how much time for questions. And so if we have for example, let's fast forward to May 4th, Ray. This
mm-hmm.
is you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a program for adults, intergenerational, and adults with disabilities.
Right.
It's you plus, it would be Shelley Dixon, and then it would be Ben. So it would be three people presenting, and but over five program areas.
Right. But
and
see,
so we have an hour and a half
right.
schedule. But what I was thinking is if we did 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, if we do 5 minutes of presentation, 5 minutes for questions, because I know that Micheline, she's not here, but I'm kind of representing her interests in what she expressed last time, was have a meaningful dialogue.
Right.
And 5 minutes, you know, so the presentation is up to 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be 5 minutes, but do we need to give more than five
mm-hmm.
minutes?
5 minutes is fine.
Yeah, I don't particularly want to do a lot of it,
but I'm not sure
how much you actually covered 5 minutes, that's all.
Yeah.
But we'll have their written quarterly report.
Well, we have the written quarterly report already, so maybe it works. So maybe it works.
So do we want to try it?
Let's try it at 5 minutes and see if that works, and if not, we can adjust.
So then each presenter gets 10 minutes on the agenda, 5 minutes
five of presentation, and
five up to five
of Q&A.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I won't be here on May 4th, so that's
let me look.
One less person to ask questions.
Okay.
Oh, good.
And I won't be here on the July one either.
Well, there is no July presentation.
July 6th. Well, the July 6th meeting. I won't be here.
Okay, can you make a note of that, Carly, that Tony will be absent May 4th and July
6th.
So, well, that's why we didn't have any presentations in July, because...
May 4th.
And we may, because it's so close to July 4th, we may make a decision, perhaps put that on the agenda for next time, that we might want to make a decision to be dark on the July
6th
week, because it is...
Yeah, that is. July 4th is that Monday, and
yeah.
we would be meeting on that Wednesday, and yeah, that is kind of awkward.
But let's put that on next agenda, because that's not an action
okay.
item
right
now. And so...
But I'm good for the May meeting, so that looks...
Okay.
So that's good.
So, and then these are not action items. This is just an opportunity
mm-hmm.
for us to interface with our worker bees.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has to present twice per year.
Mm-hmm.
It's effectively. So May, October for the first group, and then June and November for the second group.
Okay.
What do you think?
Okay,
that's good.
That works.
So then, and then the rest of this, is the rest of their report. So we want a summary of their activities, so we want them to report back on their activity chart and where they are, the status of that, and then all of the data that we want to let them know what the data is that we'll be collecting, and then the budget narrative, so how much have they expended so far, because this is information that Corlay needs and we need, how much they've expended so far, and what the narrative is about what they've expended. And then a practice with promise, we added at the end, do no later than the fourth quarter report on January 7th of 2017. That's their final quarter report, so we've asked them to submit a practice of promise with their quarter report. But they can submit that anytime during throughout the year, but no later than
gotcha. January 7th, 17.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so actually I would like to recommend a revision to the practice with promise, that we create the template that we had to follow and put it in here in the Google Doc. So this is going to be a Google Doc that goes onto the website that they submit that way, which is what you would do, Ray, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so make that like text boxes, like we have to do for practice of promise, so that it makes it really easy for us to submit to the state. Mm-hmm. It's just cutting and pasting into their boxes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So so with that revision, is there any other comment?
No, I think we kind of talked about it already. I just wanted to make sure the dates lined up with my time.
Oh, okay.
And everything looks good so far. Wait a minute.
Well, we haven't communicated these dates to our stakeholders, mm-hmm. and I think we should, as a consortium, be flexible with people's calendars. So if we want mm-hmm. one group to move into the June group, you know, the May versus June,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
once we report out to them where we've slated them to present, I think as a consortium we want to be flexible.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. With that, I'm willing to make the motion.
To approve the document with the revision for
with
practice
the revision.
And promises. And also with the proviso that as a consortium we'd be flexible with our stakeholders to a reasonable extent.
Oh, God, let's be rigid.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm one. Oh,
but
no.
Also with the proviso that we try this in May. We try this for the first quarter with
yeah.
the first presentation and see how it goes.
The timing, yeah.
And we
the
may bring it back
for
revision based mm-hmm. on. So with that, do I have a second? Oh.
Second.
I just want to maybe clarify a little bit more for all of us that we're on the same page. I'm noticing that we said 5 minutes for presentation, 5 minutes to Q&As. Now, even though right now the seats are empty, when these reports are coming in, we may in fact have public here. So did we, how have we thought about how we would handle that? Would there be public comment on the reports and the presentation or not? I'm just trying to figure out what we're thinking.
Well, let me answer that and then give Tony an opportunity to comment. So our governance document, just to remind everyone, says that the public can comment on anything that's posted on the agenda. So these presentations will not be, we're not requiring them to come with a PowerPoint slide or anything,
mm-hmm.
but their quarterly reports, So here's a little wrench now that I look at this. We get the quarterly report on April 8th. Those quarterly reports need to be reviewed on May 4th. I don't think we should have presentations on the meeting date where we are required to review quarterly reports, because how are we going to review the quarterly reports and have 50 minutes of presentations? So we need to revise that somehow, and maybe move their presentations up to prior to a quarterly report to April. They won't have submitted a quarterly report, but they're presenting on their progress without submitting a quarterly report in our April meeting.
Whatever works out. I just you guys figure that out. I'm not going to try to, you know.
So let Coralie and I take that back.
Absolutely.
And perhaps massage it. These
okay.
dates a little.
I think you're going to have to do something like that, because if you're going to allow people to make comments under public, public entity time,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to know ahead of time what it is they're commenting about.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
otherwise they're not going to have a clue, and they're going to make comments that may or may not even jive with
that
presentation, and the data.
Yeah.
So I think that needs to be at least posted
Yes, the spirit of the Brown Act type of thing is what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think it needs to be posted ahead of time, so I think you need to have that earlier. Those reports, at least to you, so you can put that data on the minute, you know, on the agenda.
So
part of the packet, don't you think?
I want to move along with getting an approval, but do we have to have the dates in the approval of this motion right now?
No.
So let's just go ahead and approve the motion and let you guys work out all these details that we're kind of talking about now.
Amend his motion to approve without dates.
Without dates. Okay.
And my second will be reflected as the second motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So
and then you guys
just kind of work out all those logistics because
we will.
Yeah.
Well, because what I'm saying is when we come together as a consortium to review the quarterly reports, those will be part of the formal agenda, and those will invite public comment. When we come together for the presentations, the public comment comes before the presentations, and that is not anything that's formally submitted by the presenters, so they can comment on it on the next meeting on the presentations, but they won't be able to comment on the presentation. They'll be able to comment on the quarterly reports that have been submitted. Mm-hmm. But there won't be public comment on the presentations.
Right,
because it's after the fact.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense to me. I hope it makes sense to
the public.
To the public.
Because, it will.
Again.
Because they can't put comment on anything that's not on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And the agenda will go like this. It'll be public entity comment first, presentations second.
Again, I've got no problem with it. I don't know your public entities at all. I don't know the folks.
Yeah.
So I don't
but
have
I
a sense of
them.
I think
it's too onerous on our partners to require them to submit a PowerPoint slide deck.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessary.
Yes. Yeah. Now speaking about putting up my other hat, yes, I agree totally.
Do we move for the presentation dates? Would you want to move public entity comment after the presentations?
No.
I don't think so either.
No, you open up a can of worms.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So with that, is there any other further discussion?
No.
Nope.
I think we voted.
And so then I would like to announce that our next meeting is
when?
March 2nd, first Wednesday of March. And I would like to formally adjourn the meeting at 9:39.
So moved.
Or, at 9:39.